Let us go to Isaiah 43, 6 to 7. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Our God has his own name. 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 Because he has his own name, he greatly honors his name. Isaiah 48, 9 says, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to destroy you completely. So he greatly honors his name, and he works for his name's sake. Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Psalm 79, verse 9 says, help us, God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive us our sins for your name's sake. So in many places throughout the Bible, you will see this expression, for my name's sake, for your name's sake, for the sake of the name of the Lord. So for his name, for his name, for his name. So this is who God is. He has name, and he greatly honors it, protects it, cherishes it, and he also works for the sake of his name. So faith means to know the name of the Lord, and not only know it, but confess it. Confess the name of the Lord. How many of you know the name of the Lord? Amen. What is the name of the Lord? Yeshua, yes. So name of the Lord, we confess that name, Yeshua, to be the name of God, the name of our Lord. But to confess the name is what faith is. And meaning, having great faith is to confess, to know and confess how high that name is, how great that name is, how glorious that name is, how holy that name is, how beautiful that name is, how awesome that name is. Amen. Amen. So if you know this name, then now you have to live your life with that faith, that is to live for the glory of his name. Live for that name. So live for that name. Why? What's in for us? When we live for his name, as we read in Isaiah 43, he will bring us to him, as it says, bring forth my sons from afar, bring forth my daughters from afar, bring them to me, they're called by my name. So when we live for his name, when we identify ourselves with his name, when we are called by his name, recognized by his name, in that day he will bring us to himself so that we may live with him and be with him forever. How does that sound? Good? Amen. So the name of the Lord is the name of God. And that name has been taught to us throughout the history of the Bible. Now, certainly God is not the only one with name. Man has name. All of us here have names. Unless you're Jay-Z or Beyonce, like you're like really famous person and you can like rebrand yourself, I guess, if you will. You rename yourself. You are probably with the name that you were born with. That makes us not so interesting, right? Yeah, so you kind of live with the name that you were given. So no one is born, you know, out of mother's womb going like, call me Joe. Yeah, nobody does that. So when we say my name is, it's saying that I am called by Joe Kim. I'm called by, you know, the name John or Bob or whatever. So called by. So it is a name that has been given by others. And it is the name given so that person can be identified with that name. So the name becomes then an identity itself. Right, so name is very abstract. If you think about it, when you do a lot of paperwork, it's when you apply to school, when you start new year school year, right? Like it's just like October comes around and get the paperwork ready or submit something. It's like endless paperwork, like constantly filling in the same thing over and over again. It's you see your name on a piece of paper, and even though the people don't know you, and they're never going to know what you're like. You are associated with that name. So from earlier on, we tend to identify with our first name and last name. So we go to school and our teachers call us by that name. Our friends get to know us by that name. And even though, like, my name is something else and I'm here, like, this is me, But the two become so like as one that when that name is recognized as the name of a good student, if you will, as a student at school, and that name gets listed as you know, on the honor roll. I don't know if they still do it. Like, do they post it up on the wall in the hallway still? Yes. If you think about it, it's kind of cruel, right? Like, I guess they only put the good students, but they only put the names of the failed students, right? Yeah, I don't remember how it goes, but I remember running to that cork board. Everybody's like, Mark and Perry, all around. It's like, you know, it's like, I know where my name is. Like, K, it's always in the middle. Like, you know, it's like, it's the middle of the alphabet. It's like, if my name's up there, like, yes, I made it. And if someone's name's not on there, it's like, you know, it's like no one really cares, but like they feel like everyone is looking at them, right? It's that feeling. It's so your name on the board is like everyone is looking for their own name. No one is looking for like, I wonder how my classmate did, and no one's doing that. But they feel praised, or they feel insulted, or they feel ashamed, or they feel glorified when their name is up for something that is positive, as opposed to the post office corporate wanted, right? John Doe. He looks like he's a height of like, you know, he has a height of 5'11" and weight, you know, 200 pounds and blah, blah, blah. And you don't want to be that John Doe, but you want to be the John Doe on the high honor roll, you know, list at school. So it's an abstract thing, your name. But over the years of our lives, as we grow up, we come to associate with it, we come to identify with it, and we come to protect it as ourselves. So just as we protect our bodies, we protect our names. So I want us to kind of think about that when it comes to the fact that God has name, right? If this is the God who is the great God who made the heavens and the earth, you saw those pictures last night, right? Like the images of how great he is through, revealed through the creatures, like the created world. Like if we can be humbled by these mountains or the Grand Canyons, shouldn't we be humbled by the great one who made them all? Amen? And he has name. And think about how great that name must be, how much he must love it, how much he cherishes it, guards it, honors it. So that's the effort of the writing of the Bible. But because we don't know that God gave us this function of having name and needing for name and needing to work for name, needing to work for the honor of our name. So nowadays with social media, you're constantly bombarded with all the information, you know, headlines and, you know, all this. So it's just constantly being updated with information, what's out there. It's like you getting information. Like you can be, I guess you can follow Donald Trump if you wanted. You'll never meet him and you'll never shake his hand, but you can follow him on Twitter, and then whatever he says comes to, you know, you get the information immediately, instantly, right? So it's this connection with the names that we have thanks to social media, and whatever happens to that name, you know, is happening to that person. So it's so that the more famous someone is, the more protective they are of their name, and because of that, they hire lawyers. Because lawyers, this is what they do. If they are faced with any situations of defamation or libel, where somebody falsely published something about them, whether social media, blog, or whatever, they will go after them. Like they will hire a lawyer and they would, you know, file a lawsuit or bring charges and saying that this is not me, that's not exactly what happened, and so on. So people do care a lot about injury and harm to their bodies and their possessions. But now, I think especially more as the more developed and more complicated and advanced a society becomes, we're even more concerned with this abstract thing called name. So one wants to protect one's image through the name. So we can understand the importance of name through the importance of the name of the human and the human society, and again, relate back to how it means for God. Now, in the context of religion, when we say in the beginning, our God has his own name, this is according to the Bible that we believe as the word of God. But what about religions out there? Religions, they emerge from men. So they're human, human-derived and human origin in terms of the way they think of who God is and what he wants and what his name is. So even earlier on, like when you look at in ancient Greek civilization or the Romans, they had something called the mythologies, right? So do you remember these gods? There's so many. And they had very exciting life. I mean, it's always like, yeah, like, you know, you're married to this one, but then you go steal someone else's wife, and then you have babies like half god, half goat, or whatever it is. So then it's very complicated. But I used to be really into that, too. It's like, wow. So this was like the pre, I guess, Harry Potter days or whatever. So these were their gods. They really did believe that their god was named Zeus, and Hades was one, and Apollos was another, and so on. So they name these gods, and they imagine things about them. So religions, a lot of times, have their names for their own gods. So it was human naming these gods. But some religions do not name gods. And in fact, when the Apostle Paul, in Acts 17, when he went to Greece and Athens, he saw statues, and in Europe, you know, there are many, many statues. And these statues have, again, religious, you know, context or origin. So they're carved out to be representing their god or godly figures. So they bow down, they pray to it, and so on. So he realized, like, wow, these Greeks are really, really religious. They're very spiritual people. And he was even all the more impressed when he saw one statue that had a label that said, to an unnamed god. Unnamed god. So they had one for Zeus, they had one for Apollo, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, who do we forget? Just in case. Let's make one for the unnamed god, because we don't want him to get mad, you know, just in case. So they had a label saying unnamed god. So some religious to this day, they say you can't call God by his name. His name cannot be known, so therefore he's just going to remain as God or thing out there. Yeah, because he's too great. We don't even need to know his name. What the Bible tells us, however, is that, number one, God has his own name, and number two, he reveals his name. He has revealed his name in stages throughout the history of the Bible, and if we have faith in him, we have to know his name. We don't just believe in God as in this some kind of abstract being floating around, but we have relationship with him through his name, by his name. Amen? So why is it important? First, the name of God is the contact point between God and man. God is spirit. Man is in the flesh body that's made up of dust. So right there, right away, we see ourselves completely different from God. He is invisible. We are visible. He is immortal, but we are mortal. We live and we die. He is infinite, but we are finite. He is heavenly, but we're earthly. He's holy, but we're unholy. You get the idea. We're completely different two beings. But to bring us together, he revealed his name. He decided to have name and reveal it to make it a contact point for these two different beings, himself as God and us men. Secondly, his name, the name of God, is important because Psalm 9:10 says, he never forsakes who know his name. He never forsakes. He never forgets. He never abandons those who know his name. Third, he treats his name the same as himself, equal to himself. So as I've been giving you examples about how humans cherish and value their name, all the more for God. So Matthew 18:5, it says, those who welcome his name, they welcome him. Malachi 1:6-7 says, those who show contempt for his name show contempt for him. So this is why you can imagine the Ten Commandments. Number three, it says, do not misuse the name of the Lord God. Yes. So if you honor God and fear God, you honor and fear him by honoring and fearing his name. Right? If you don't want to honor, you dismiss God and you disrespect and dishonor him, that is done by dishonoring his name. So his name is treated as the same as himself. So that's how important the name of God is. And he taught that throughout the history of the Bible to men. When we open up the Bible in Genesis 1:1, which starts with, in the beginning, what did God do? Is someone going to say in the beginning was the word? Because I said Genesis 1:1. Because you're not going to help me. If I don't pay attention and put all my strength, I'm going to end up saying what you're going to say. All right? So we all need to be one page. What does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There you go. All right. So God starts with God. So in a very generic sense, he's represented as God. I mean, I mean generic as in like not identifying his name specifically, but it's God. God who created the world. But then when you look at, then you go to the next chapter, Genesis 2, starting Genesis 2, 4, we see the Lord God. Right? So again, this is all coming from the Hebrew text translation, but it starts with God, and then we get to the Lord God. And then in Genesis 4, after man had sinned, after Cain sinned, we don't see the Lord God, but we see Lord. Right? So we start with God, the Lord God, God. Now, of course, you're going to see God in other places. You're going to see the Lord God appearing in other places. But just in those three, four chapters, we see the transition or sort of the expansion of who God is through how he is described in the Word of God. So to reveal himself even further in his name, he called on the people of Israel. And the way he called them was through calling one man to represent him, and he was Moses. When God called Moses, Moses, born a Hebrew, but was raised as a prince of Egypt, but by then he became a fugitive because he had killed an Egyptian official, and he was out on the run, and he lived a quiet life in the wilderness. But God called him from the burning bush when it was time to do the work of calling and making a people, the people of God. And from the burning bush, God revealed himself, his plan. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. So this is the way he introduced himself. So of course, before this, God was telling Moses, I want you to go into Egypt and bring my people out, right? So God is giving Moses, who is now an old man, and he's still scared for his life because he had committed, you know, murder. But God is giving him this grand project, like to fulfill, which was to bring the people of the Hebrew people, or later on known as the people of Israel, out. So Moses did not want to go. So he was, you know, saying, first of all, what do I say to them? Like, who sent me to you? Like, what can I say to them that they're going to let me go? The king of Egypt, who held these people for generations, you know, as his owner, his possession. And God said, I am who I am, or I am that I am. So if you notice in English, I am is all capitalized. So it is not just saying like, I am Joakim, or I'm a girl, I'm a boy, but I am there is actually a name. So it comes from the four-letter word, that it's called Tetragrammaton, YHWH from the original text, and that is then later called Yahweh. From there comes the name Yahweh or Jehovah, which means I am, that is the uncreated one. All right. So what he's saying is I am the creator. I am the sovereign God. I am the owner of all things. I am the great God. I am the Lord. That's what he meant in that name. So in that name, I am, he's saying I am the Lord. So what does Lord mean anyway? Lord means head, the king, the master. He is above all, right? Because he is the creator. From him came all things, everything. So I am, tell them that I am has sent me to you. So hello, my name is Moses, and I've been sent by I am. And he says, let my people go. So you could kind of imagine how this is like really doesn't make any sense to them. So that's why he was like, what? You know, it's like, go home. You know, he didn't listen to him at all. And from then on, of course, the 10 plagues took place for the Pharaoh to give up ultimately at the 10th plague, which was the death of every firstborn. So I am was the name that was revealed through Moses to the people of Israel for the first time in the history of the Bible. Very, very vaguely God, the Lord God began, but I am is very, really the most direct God was to the people. So Even there, he was saying, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me. So the Lord there is equated to the name I am. Right? So there's I am and I am. That concept of I am, the name, the meaning, is in the Lord. So when you look at the English text of the Bible, you will not find the name Yahweh or Jehovah, right? You will see the Lord, all capital letters, L-O-R-D, right? So that represents the name Yahweh, Jehovah. I know in the Korean Bible, or I don't know in other Bibles, maybe Chinese, does it say Jehovah, Yehovah? So these names may be in there in those translations, but in the English text, you will not see that. Because this all goes with the command that God gave in Exodus 20, verse 7, about do not misuse the name of the Lord God. In spite of the fact that God revealed his name to the people, simultaneously God gave the command, do not misuse my name. If you misuse my name, you will not be guiltless. And if you misuse the name, I will curse you. I will curse your children down the generation. So God gave as commandment written literally on the stone of the ten, with the Ten Commandments on the stone tablets that Moses brought down later on from the mount. God show how he honors himself through honoring his name, protecting his name by giving this command. So people fear God, people fear his name. Even though no other peoples on earth knew the name of the Lord God, they couldn't haphazardly, carelessly call his name. They just simply called him the Lord. So in Hebrew, Adonai, or Elohim, which is God, Adonai is Lord, it's still commonly used to praise him and pray to him to this day. And this name, Jeremiah 16:21 says, my name is the Lord, also emphasizing the fact that it means I am. And Isaiah 64:16 says, this is the name of the old, of the ancient, meaning this was the name not given by anyone, like unlike us. We were all named by our parents, right, by someone. Right? We were named by someone who was there at our birth. Like in our church, some of the babies, they come to us and ask us for, you know, the pastors ask for a name. And Pastor Karen's like, I'm running out of names. Stop having babies. That's what she said. this is a dilemma. We have a lot of things to make decisions on. And I guess the last thing we want to do is like worry about someone's name. No offense, but it's just like, what? We are running out of room in our brains. But even that, Pastor Kang says, she prays about it. She's like, why do I have to worry about this? She's not too good. But whether it's your pastor or your parents or grandparents, you were named by someone, given by someone. But for God, that name he had himself always. Always did since eternity. To remember this, God commanded the people of Israel to build a sanctuary. Certainly it was the first in the form of the tabernacle that was mobile during their journey in the desert through Moses. But later on, through the king of Israel, Solomon, they built a permanent structure called the Temple of Jerusalem. And it was built to house his name. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 6:5. Since the day I brought my people out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built so that my name might be there, nor have I chosen anyone to be ruler over my people Israel. So the temple was built for what? For his name to be there. And you note that my name, that name is what? Capitalized. So instead of calling his name again directly, another practice that Jews have to this day is to just say the name with the capital N, the name. So they just do not utter the name Jehovah or Yahweh easily or carelessly because of the fear of offending, insulting his name. Yeah, so they call it the name. So that's what it says, for my name, for the name of the Lord, the temple will be built. And this would be the house called in the name of the Lord. And Daniel 9:19 says, the city and the people who bear the name of the Lord. The city, of course, referring to the city of Jerusalem, which has the temple. So it's all about the name. They were called by the name of the Lord as a people. The city was called by the name of the Lord, where the house of the Lord was, which was the temple that had the name inside. So you can see how privileged they must have felt as a people. Nobody on earth knew the name of the Lord God. And their whole, host of people around the world, scattered around the world, worshiping their own gods and naming their own gods, or even out of fear of some unknown god, they don't even try to find out the name of such god or gods. But here they are, chosen people of God, the people of Israel, given this very special blessing to know his name, to build a house for that name. Yet, ironically, they couldn't call his name. But at the same time, the closest they could get to the name was the temple. So when the King Solomon dedicated the temple to God in 1 Kings 8, and we see 33 to 44 in that passage, how he said, "When we come to your house, when we come before the temple and pray in your name, pray in this place where your name is, hear us." Or in the case that we are taken away as exiles or captives, far away from this city, from our home, yet we pray in the direction of Jerusalem, where the temple is, where your name is, hear us. So this became the faith of the Jews, the Jewish people from then on, which is to orient themselves. This idea of orienting is to orient themselves to Jerusalem. That word, the concept itself, comes from that as well. So biblical context of orienting themselves. So even Daniel, who lived in the Babylonian kingdom, right, and was one of those privileged young men who were groomed by the king Nebuchadnezzar, he prayed in the direction. He was a man of prayer, and when he prayed in the direction of Jerusalem so that his prayer would be heard. So you can see the faith of the people, that they knew the importance of the name of the Lord God, the privilege they had, yet they did not offend him. They did not want to break the law by misusing the name, but they knew the importance of the name to pray in the direction where that name was. So was the temple important to these people? Yes. So when the Son of God, coming in the name of Yeshua, looked at the temple, what did he say that made them upset? Destroy this temple. That's what you call set yourself up. Yeah, set yourself up. That's what he did. He set himself up. So when you know that, and in John 2:19, he's already talking about his death, because he was talking about his death, right? Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. He was talking about his death and his resurrection. To say that the death of Jesus, Yeshua, was accident or his failure is really not knowing the history of the Bible, not knowing the Bible. Because what he was saying was a prophecy about his own death, but not only his death, but his resurrection. But what we also find that is important there is that he is saying that he is the temple. Again, what's the function of the temple? The temple had the name, his name. What name is that? Huh? Jehovah. The temple with his name was Jehovah in the temple of Jerusalem. But here's Yeshua saying, destroy the temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. Talking about the body of Yeshua, he was saying that he is the temple because inside of him, coming with him was what? The name of God, the name of the Father, which is the name Yeshua. Let's go to Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Certainly you read it Jesus in English, but if you have a footnote in your Bible, it should say something like, sounds like Joshua or Yehoshua, right? So Joshua was a common name, still is common name. And that name derives from the Old Testament and has the same name as Yeshua. So it sounds like Yeshua, sounds like Yehoshua, which means the Lord saves. Specifically, it says he will save his people from their sins. So this was the name that the angel revealed to Joseph so that when the baby finally came out of the virgin who conceived him as the offspring of the woman, the Son of God came, they gave him that name. But that name was not given just that moment and said, hello, hi guys, my name is, he went to school and say, my name is Yeshua. And the teacher said, okay, hi, Yeshua. And then someone's like, hey, my name is Yeshua too. Okay, Yeshua B, Yeshua C. Because Yeshua was a common name at the time, like Joshua. You get what I'm saying, right? Some of you look like, what? There was someone. Yes, yes. Like, apparently, Jesus is also a common name, too, in Latin America. Yes, now you're getting me. Okay. So what is the difference then? John 5:43. See, I try to make it relatable for all of us here. I try to bring it to classroom, try to bring it to real life situation, okay? John 5:43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. So here's Yeshua talking about himself and where he comes from. And until then, he was saying, I did not come on my own. I did not speak of my own. I did not do things on my own. I have been sent. I have been sent by my Father in heaven. I am doing the work that he sent me to do. In John 4, he said, this is the food that I need to eat. And that food was to do the will of him who sent him. So he was constantly saying, I was sent. I was sent. I've been sent. And I'm sent to do this. I'm sent to speak this. And he was saying, I am sent in my Father's name. The Father is God, who is from eternity. And who is he? He is the God who has his own name. Amen? And what name is that? See, up until then, and even to this day, many people think that the name of God is Jehovah. So many people in Christian churches, I'm not talking about just, you know, Jewish believers, but of the Old Testament, but I'm talking about even the Christians today. They believe that the name Jehovah is somehow holier because it sounds older. Like, people tend to associate like holiness, religiosity with something old. So when they pray, Jehovah, in the name of Jehovah, it's like, oh. You know, they get scared. Like, when you hear Jehovah, it's like, oh my God, I better stop texting. I better stop lying. But when you say Jesus, it's like, yeah, Jesus, 33, I'm 34. Yeah, so like that. This is how people treat him. This is how treat his name. But when they hear like old stuff and old things and old heavy Bibles of Jehovah, then they start to tremble. But that is not what the name of God is. Here is for the first time being revealed to mankind in the world what the Father's name is. And that was by sending his Son in his name that the name be known. And that name is Yeshua, hallelujah, which means what? The Savior, salvation. Jehovah was the name that was revealed to Moses as the name of God in the Old Testament, but who brought it down? Hebrews 1, 4 to 5 talks about angels. So it says, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. So there, the writer is comparing or contrasting the name that the son came with the name that the angel came with or brought. And what we see in Acts chapter 7 as well, about the law being brought to Israel through the angel. So it was the angel that spoke on behalf of God from the burning bush. Because even Exodus chapter 3, we see there is God speaking. But when you look at it very carefully, it says the angel of the Lord spoke. The angel of the Lord. And then the Lord, God. So it is the angel coming, speaking on behalf of God and saying, I am who I am. And that was the name that called the people of Israel, that gave them the law, that gave them the law, that prevented them from using his name haphazardly. So while they were taught about the name, they couldn't call his name carelessly, yet they lived in the fear, and they still live with the feeling of being superior to others because no one ever was called by the name of God. But what God revealed was by sending his son saying, no, that is not my true name. For you to really know my name, I reveal myself to you little by little. Because he knows like we're little children. We have to learn from ABC, right? From the very basics to go advanced. We have to start small, start slowly, start simple. And that's how he started. In the history of the Old Testament, by choosing the people of Israel, he revealed his name as Jehovah, but it was through the angels. Not himself, not his son. But here he was now, the Son of God coming in the flesh of man, the Word that became flesh, the Spirit that became flesh, the Word who was from the beginning, the Word who was God, finally came to the world 2,000 years ago in the name of the Father, in the name Yeshua, to reveal his name, to reveal who he is. Hallelujah! And this Yeshua began to do the work of the Father that he was sent by, whom he was sent by, and in his name he was sent. He called disciples. Mark 4:15 says he called his men, appointed the 12, so that he would send them out. He would give them authority to send them out in his name to drive out demons. So that's what they did. So even before Jesus died and rose and the Holy Spirit came later on to bring the name as we know today and receive, the disciples, even the time of Jesus, Yeshua, was given the name, which means authority. So the name only not represents the one's fame, but one's status, right? One's status and therefore one's power and authority. So when Yeshua sent his disciples and said, go, do my work as my disciples, he gave them his name. So in that name, they went out and drove out demons. So when they did, so besides 12 disciples, there were other other men that Yeshua groomed as disciples. There was a group referred to as the 72, Luke 10:17 and on talks about that. These 72 disciples, they're not the main 12, but there were sort of the, perhaps there were like the subgroup, like the secondary group or something, but they were also disciples, but they were given the name to go out to drive out demons with that. And they came back with joy and said to him, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Yeshua replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah! Because your names are written in heaven, meaning you belong to heaven, that you will be remembered for your names in heaven. For that, rejoice. But that was only a glimpse of what he would fully accomplish through his death. So when men came to arrest him, when men betrayed him, Yeshua didn't avoid his death. But he went to the cross willingly. But when he died, what did he say? He said, it is finished. Because it was the moment that he was doing the work that he came to do. The goal of his work, the finale, right? All the healing and driving and making disciples and all these things that he came to do. But it was all driving towards that point. And that point was his death. It was the moment he died for the sake of the name of the Father. He died for the glory of the Father's name, and it was to honor and glorify him, but also for the promise that he himself will receive the glory of that name, the power of that name, the authority of that name as his inheritance, eternal inheritance. Hallelujah! Again, you may be wondering, like, but he was born with that name. He already had that name. Why do you have to die for that name? He was sent by that name, the Father's name. And he had a name with the Father in the beginning when he was the Word, revealed to men when he came in the flesh of men. But it was the work that he had to do in that name first. He had to die. Only after his death, he would be glorified through his resurrection. And after that, he would receive all the glories and all the honor, all the power, all the praise, all good things, all blessings and power, all of them in that name as his eternal possession forever, so that no one will ever take it away from him again. Hallelujah! So that was the moment of Philippians chapter 2, 6, 11. So let's go back there to the passage we opened the word with, Philippians 2. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So who's this writing about? This is about Yeshua. It says up on top in verse 5, Christ Jesus, right? So Yeshua, being in very nature God, The very nature God is referring back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God in his nature. His essence is that he is God. He's a part of God who became man so that he can die. See, God cannot die. God is too great for men to know, to have relationship with. Remember, I said his name is the contact point between God and men. That contact point, the mediator, is the man, Christ Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who came in the name of God of the Father, Yeshua, hallelujah. So he died, he worked, and he died. His work was his death, his suffering on the cross. But after his death, what happens? Verse 9, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah! When men confess with their tongue his name as the name of their Lord and Savior. When men bow down before him and say, I have no righteousness of my own, I am guilty 100%. I surrender all before you and say, you alone are God. You alone are good. You alone are holy. You alone are righteous. When men bow down and kneel down before his name and confess his name, the one who is glorified is? Yes, we think it's Yeshua. Yes, it is Yeshua because he's seated on the throne. But what does it say? At the same time, what's happening? Who's receiving the glory? The Father God. Hallelujah. That is the will of God. You see, the will of God is not just about saving men for the sake of men. It is for the sake of his name. Hallelujah. It's all for his name. For the sake of his name, he created the heavens and the earth. For the sake of his name, he created all things in them, including the angels, including men. For the sake of his name, he let man be deceived by the serpent to sin and to deal with the price of sin. For the sake of his name, he started to reveal his name as Jehovah to only a small number of people called the people of Israel. For the sake of his name to be revealed, he finally sent his son in that name, the name Yeshua, that is to save. Because in that name is his purpose, his plan, his heart, his glory, his power, his life, his beauty, his righteousness, his holiness. In his name is who he is. Hallelujah! And to reveal that, the Son came and was torn and opened up to pour out his precious blood to redeem the sins of all men, so that whosoever calls on his name, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Hallelujah! He opened the way for the salvation of mankind through his death. Because at the same time, what happened was that he judged the devil, who as an angel challenged the name of God, the name of the Lord God. You see, in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, describes this angel challenging the throne of God and say, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the throne of God. That throne is the name of God, that glorious name that is above every name. And here is a creature saying, I'm so beautiful, I'm so talented, why not? I'm going to be like the Creator. I'm going to steal his name. I'm going to steal that throne. So when he challenged the name of the Lord, the name of God, God threw him out of the spiritual heaven and contained him here in the spirit, in the material heaven, the universe, until this day of judgment. And by putting his body to the cross, being nailed to death, Yeshua condemned him and judged him. This is not how you honor. This is not how you glorify the name of the Lord. You glorify him by surrendering yourself, completely being empty to honor him. And when you do that, the glory returns to you. Hallelujah! And that's what happened to the Son. He died, but in 3 days, the Father raised him back up to life, and he was lifted up to heaven, where he is seated on the throne to this day, and not just to this day, but forever and ever. He receives all glory, all honor, all power forever and ever, for his name is above every name. Hallelujah! It is the same name that the Holy Spirit will send, John 14:26, when the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, Yeshua promised. He will come in my name. So he comes to bring this name so that those who call on this name will be saved. So Acts 2:21 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So when we call on his name, we are saying, your name. The name, which name is that? The name? Yeshua. When we call on his name, we're calling his name as the name of our Savior. My Savior. Can we all say it together? My Savior.
My Savior.
My Lord.
My Lord.
Who is? Yeshua. We stress my because our people get lost in the quantity, the number of people. What we all have to, every one of you. So Acts 2:38, after receiving the Holy Spirit, the disciple Peter began to preach and say, repent every one of you for the forgiveness of sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So repent and be baptized every one of you for the forgiveness of your sins. So repent and be baptized. So repent every one of you. Every one of you is highlighted there. So everyone meaning every, each one of you. Not because your mommy went to church and prayed for you. Not because you're born in the church that you're automatically going to go to heaven. Or that your people were called by God and somehow in the comfort of the mass that you hope to God that you will be saved with the group, with the people. No, every one of us must call on his name one by one, individually, to say, Yeshua, my Lord, my Savior. Let's say it once again. Yeshua,
Yeshua.
My Lord. My Savior. Hallelujah. So then the Holy Spirit comes into such believers and lets them live for the name of the Lord. Live for the name of the Lord. In his name, what have we received? We receive the forgiveness of sin. Luke 24:47, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. In the name Yeshua to all nations, the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is given to in his name, as I read in Acts 2:21 and in many other places. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In his name, we are baptized as he was ascending to heaven. Yeshua said, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. In whose name? In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What is the name of the Father? Anyone still saying Jehovah? Because then we have like, we have lost you somewhere, yeah? Name of the Father? The name of the Son? The name of the Holy Spirit? What about that guy, that ghostly guy? Does he have a name? Yes, he has a name. His name is Yeshua. I'm saying ghostly because people say Holy Ghost and they think of him. And that's how I used to think. Like, why does he even need a chair anyway? Like the three chair setup, the situation is like, he's a spirit. What? Can't do two be enough? I'm all about efficiency. Like, just two. Get rid of the third. But the three persons of God are one in the name Yeshua. Once again, the name of the Father is? The name of the Son is? The name of the Holy Spirit is? And it is in this name, as Paul said in Acts 19:5, he was baptizing them in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Hallelujah! Baptism is important, not for the sake of going in the water, because Christians are not the only ones who go in the water. And we also stress, certainly, the form of baptism, immersion, right? So we say, like, immersion is the way. It is the way, because this is the way that Yeshua himself showed. So any other way, pouring and sprinkling, all these things are not real, not the true way. The true way of being baptized is biblical, which is to be immersed. However, just because one is being immersed does not mean that that act is true baptism. Uh-oh. Then you're like, wait, what are you saying? Because Jehovah's Witnesses also baptize, and I think the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, also baptize. So then, is that real? Real baptism, true baptism, the biblical baptism, is a baptism that is given by the name Yeshua, the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So baptism is important because it is given in the name of the Lord, in the name of God. Do you understand? Yes? So the name is important, and with the name, certainly, we obey the form. So in that name, we have been baptized. In that name, John 1:12, we have become we have received the right to become the children of God. It says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Say amen if you believe that you are a child of God.
Amen.
You sure? But what about your dad in Flushing or back in China or Korea? What about him? Yeah, that's your dad too. Yes, it's your earthly dad, fleshly dad. But when you receive the blood of Yeshua in the name Yeshua, I've always explained like this, and Pastor Ken explained it, it makes it very clear for me as well. When we call on his name, we are it's almost like receiving blood transfusion in the sac, right? So the blood doesn't come like on its own because it would be lost. But when you get the blood transfusion, you get in a sac, right? So, and then it goes into the body. That sac that holds the blood is the name. So when I call on them, because the blood is spirit, I've never seen God, I've never seen Jesus, I've never seen his blood. We tend to imagine blood as red, but that blood doesn't even have color because it is spirit. Do you understand? So how do we receive that blood? You've been hearing all night, last night too, blood, blood, blood. We sang about blood. So then maybe think of like red, 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 blood, 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 red, blood. But that blood is the blood of God, the blood that is spirit. How we receive it into our spirit is in the name Yeshua. How important, how amazing is that name? Hallelujah! So when we receive that name, yes, while we still have our earthly relationships, earthly father, mother, and parents, siblings, and relatives, we have Heavenly Father because we have been born again as children of God. Hallelujah! And we have been given the promise of this inheritance. The inheritance that was given to the Son of God is now promised for us as well. Because that name, in that name, our authority, power, glory, strength, beauty, life, joy, peace, happiness. Don't you want to have that eternal inheritance one day? Amen? So now then we have to live our lives for that name. For that name. As we live for that name, he gives us experience, the token that he is real, that his name is real, that there is power in his name, there's life in his name. How do we experience that name, the power of his name? By praying in his name. Praying in his name. Yeshua himself said in John 14:13-14, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. He said twice, ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. Ask in my name, and I will do it. Because when I do it, the Father will receive the glory. He promised. And when he says, I will do it, my name. Right? So when you have that stamp, like the approval, like when you go to the town clerk, whatever you need, you know, you pay the ticket, your parking ticket or speeding ticket, and you need that stamp, like you pay, and it's got like the municipal of Palisade Park, you know, you pay for $100 for your parking ticket and expired meter for 10 minutes, you pay $100. So whatever it is, like the stamp and whatever signature it shows is that by the authority of the town or the municipalities, I approve, and I acknowledge that you've done this. Right, so the name, whatever, whether the name is an individual's name, an organization, or a governmental body, or official, that name represents the power, the authority that comes with that. So when Yeshua said, in my name, you ask me, whatever it is, I will do it for the sake of my name. Do you believe that? Do you believe it as a privilege you have as a child of God? Amen. So what are we afraid of? Why are we downcast? Problem comes. Oh, man, what am I going to do? It's the end of the world. No, we have to remember his word and say, ask me in my name, whatever, and I will do it for the sake of my name. Hallelujah. He will do it for us because he loves us. Yes. But number one, he loves himself. He loves his name. Do you understand? This is who God is. Don't get too upset like, but you don't love me that much. God loves himself first. That's what makes him God. He loves his name. For the sake of his name, he sent his son to die. You understand? For his name. And only when he lived his life for that name and died for that name, then Yeshua himself was given the authority of all authorities of heaven and earth as his eternal inheritance in the name Yeshua by sitting down on the throne in heaven. He received that name that is above every name. That is how great his name is. So we are not to toss it away. It's like, what good is that name anyway? There's no use in praying. I tried it for 2-3 months or even 2-3 years. No use. I'm just going to give up this whole thing. I'm going to try something else. This is someone not only with little faith, but who is dishonoring his name. Yes, it's dishonoring his name. If anyone who dismisses the authority of his name, who refuses to pray, who gives up praying, who dismisses prayer life, is dismissing the authority of his name. Did you ever think of it that way? Because he himself commanded, pray in my name. Pray in my name. Pray all the time. Ask in my name. He didn't say, would you please ask? Do you see that here anywhere? His words are always command, in the command form. Ask in my name. I will do whatever you ask for the sake of my name. Just pray. Amen. And he also said in Mark 16:17-18, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So in his name, we also lay our hands on the sick. In his name, we drive out demons, these cursed spirits that bring on curse on our bodies, sickness, suffering, depression, anxiety, even suicidal thoughts, whatever sickness one may be suffering with. We can be set free from them by praying and casting out in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. So we experience his salvation daily this way in our lives, in his name, by his name. And we also love the body whose head is his name, the church. The church, the head of the church is Yeshua. His name is the head of the church. We love the church, which is his body. Certainly, because we love him, we love the body, we love one another. Yes? Amen? But it's not just because of the people. You can find people elsewhere too. You can actually find nicer people elsewhere. I can tell you that, yes. Myself included. I'm not that nice person, no. So I know myself. Somebody's laughing really loud, yeah. Or there are lots of nice people. A lot of people say, well, people are so nice here. I know we're trying to be nice. And we're not trying to be fake or anything. We want to put up our best behavior because we want you to feel at home. But after all, we all stink, right? We all go pee and poo, yeah? We are humans, yeah. So it is not just because of the people we love the church. We love the church because of the name that is its head, that is her head. The head of the church is the name, Yeshua. Because we love Yeshua. We love his name, Yeshua. So we love his body, the church of Yeshua. Amen? It is the gathering in his name. So we love to gather in his name. We must come to the gathering with longing. Even if you had a rough week, even if you're tired, you'd rather spend the Sunday morning doing your laundry or whatever that keeps you away from church, or even during weekly meetings and prayer meetings, evangelist meetings, or doing extra work like praise night work or dedication or Zoe conference work, retreat work, whatever work we're doing, even if our bodies are tired and we'd rather be doing XYZ, we gather because the gathering is in the name of the Lord, the name Yeshua. Amen. Those who love his name, they think of his name day and night. What gets them out of bed, they think it is the name Yeshua. It is not opening our eyes and opening up our eyes and, oh, I have to go to work and do this. Oh, I have to go make myself coffee. No, first thing we ought to think of, if we are made by the Holy Spirit, Yeshua. Even this morning I was, Yeshua, 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 This is the name that he's so desired to reveal for thousands of years. No, not just thousands of the history of the Bible, but since eternity. He wanted to have relationship with men in that name. He so waited patiently. And 2,000 years ago, the part of God called the Word became flesh. The Word who is God came to be broken, to be broken of his flesh, broken of his life, to finally die, to let out that name, Yeshua. By his grace, we have received his blood. By his grace, we have heard his name. His name has been given to us, revealed to us so easily. So now, our hope is not on earth, but to finally see the face of the one who gave us his name by shedding his blood, making us his children. His name is Yeshua, who is seated on the throne waiting for us in our heavenly home. We want to see him. Amen. Until then, until the day he says, bring forth my son, bring forth my daughter, so they may be with me, those I have called by my name, who have lived for my name, who have suffered for my name, who have even endured persecution because of my name. When we speak his name, the world does not want to hear. The world does not like to hear that. We made this opportunity of praise night being very, very open and inviting to all. Because when we try to just preach Church of Jesus or Yeshua, of course, number one, about Jesus, about Yeshua, the Savior, they don't want to hear. And on top of that, join us in our church, they don't want to come. But praise night, it's less burdensome. So it's more inviting, no pressure. They go to other churches or they like music, so they come. But this is only a way to make it easier for people to be open. We don't just end here, but we need to reveal his name, teach his name. That's what we tried to do last night. The entire program that we thought of, you know, all this was only 6 weeks long. Zoe conference in Korea was suddenly stopped. People were packing their bags and they literally unpacked when they got the news. Okay, we're canceling it. And with that, within the week, in the void, we did this. This had been Pastor Kang's dream for a long time. But she said, you know, never in my lifetime is this going to be. Because just so many reasons. Not because we didn't have talent or anything, but it's just hard. At Church of Jesus, you know, we're known in town as, you know, those people. So it's to invite people here, it's like, I'm not going to go there. They're crazy people. They're crazy Jesus fanatics or like they're like cultish. They're crazy. So it was it's something that she wanted to do because she loves praise and she understands the importance of praising his name and what it means to praise his name. This is how she began turned our church around to have modern style worship like this, using instruments and dancing and lifting him up, like really God-centered praise. Not about me, but about you. So this kind of worship that we've been doing with the praise that we've been doing for years and years, this was her like fantasy for a very long time. But someone else had suggested. And then she said, do you think we can do it? And I was like, yeah, we can do it. So we started brainstorming 6 weeks ago. And of course, it's not exactly how the first version. We went through many, many, many versions. I mean, it's just so many things from the song selections to song order of the program to the... I kept saying this to Bob. I remember when Barack Obama was leaving the office and they were interviewing and he was saying that one of the things that he always said when he leaves the office after being in the office for 2 terms, that he looks for the day when he does not need to make any decision. So he says, when I leave the White House, I think it's their kind of joke in the family and their administration, is that I'm going to buy a shack in Hawaii, because that's where he's from, and I'm just going to sell one item, and that would be white t-shirt and one size, medium. So it's like, you don't have to select. You don't have to negotiate. It's just like only one thing. So there's only one thing. So I told Aaron, I was like, when I retire or when I get fired or whatever, however, hopefully just when I don't do this, if I were not to do this, I'm just going to sell one smoothie that I'm making you right now. That one size, one smoothie, and that's it. I don't want to make any more decisions. This is only the beginning. I can't imagine how Pastor Kang's been doing it for all these years. But people are asking me left and right about this and this and this. Should we do this and this and that? So when the video went up, the introductory video went up last night in the dark, I started crying because I watched this video 30 times, which is only for 30 seconds. And the guy who was making it, he kept texting me, Pastor Joe, I sent you a new version. Okay, ding. Okay, I was watching it. Can you just stop at a 15 second and take that out and put that in? It's like, okay, Pastor Joe. So going back and forth from there to the poster design. Even the poster design took us 2 weeks to decide on. You know, Pastor Ken was like, I don't like that. No, you need to take this in. Okay, take this out. So from then on to all this. So it wasn't just the performance that we did, but as I thought about last night and even this morning too, we did our best to make it all about him. Because many Christians have been to this thing called Praise Night, and they sing songs, and they share stories too, and some moving too, yes. Certainly there are songs and testimonies that are God-centered. But we really did from beginning to the end. When we walked out, one thing that remained was what? The name? Yeshua. Even videos, they were all about him. Even those mini videos, testimonies, songs, the word, was all about him. They originate from this God-centered view, from God's perspective. Who is God? What does he want? And how does he reveal himself? And what do we do when we know his revelation, when we have received his revelation? How do we live our lives? That is to live for the glory of his name. Even if it means losing all and being persecuted, we are to go out and testify his name, live for his name, pray in his name, obey his name, and build up the house in his name. That is the church. Hallelujah. And he will take care of us. Whatever we need, we pray in his name. And he will hear us. And in that day, when he comes back, he will recognize those with his name written on them. As Revelation 22, 1-5 talks about that. And talking about the end in the New Jerusalem, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God, of the Lamb, will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They'll not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Though we have never seen him, we love him because of his name. Let us live for this name, live for the glory of his name. It is not glory for ourselves, our ego, our pride, our ambitions, our own plans. We no longer live for the fame of our own name, fame for family name or anything. Now we live for the glory of his name. Hallelujah! Let's pray. Yeshua, the name of God revealed to me. Yeshua, the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, which he gave in our soul. This is the name that we have, the name that we can call wherever we are, whatever we are doing, whatever situation we may be in, whether we are going through the valleys of darkness, whether we are in sickness or alone, whether we are in fear or whether we feel lost, we call his name. His name is Yeshua. So at this time, let's raise up our hands to heaven and call on his name, Yeshua!
Yeshua!